morning, Winnipeg Center Vineyard. I am Jocelyn and invite you to go again, grab your items for communion if you're going to partake in that after this time of worship.
Your presence. And come, let us adore. Let us adore. Let us adore him. Come, let us adore. Let us adore. Let us adore him. Come, let us adore. Let us adore. Let us adore him.
Morning, WCV. Pardon me, hold on. I'm going to read from Psalm 139 for us this morning. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting light. Lord, thank you that you see us in such intimate detail, that you know us inside and out, that you're going before us and following behind us, that you, like we just sang, love us. And so we, in this moment, just offer ourselves back to you. We open ourselves up to you. We give ourselves to you. I thought of this psalm in particular in kind of preparing for communion this morning, and you'll have your stuff ready. If you don't, you can grab it. But those particular lines and thinking about just what's on our news feed and what's going on in our society and in our world and in our own hearts. And thought about Jesus. And I've been reading a lot about in John lately, and the Word becoming flesh and made himself a human being, like moved into the neighborhood, became one of us. And in this psalm, there's nowhere that we can go where his presence is not. Up in the heavens, we kind of can easily think that God might be present in the heavens. Even if we don't think of them as the Hebrews think of them, but like, yeah, we can imagine that God would be present in heaven. But in the grave, in Sheol, that's the Hebrew word for the underworld, like hell, the grave, in death, in darkness, even if the psalmist says, even if I make the night, you know, like try to pull it around me, you're there. And so in the midst of all this kind of chaos and uncertainty and anger and calls for reform and anxiety and, you know, loneliness and depression, all these things, and whatever you might be experiencing this morning, know this, that Jesus, the Christ, became one of us, made himself one of us, experienced everything that we experience, died for us, and was resurrected and sent his Spirit, who is with us now. And in whatever circumstance and situation that we find ourselves in, he's with us, and he's moving and active and engaged. And so we turn ourselves to you, Holy Spirit, Jesus, the one Son of God, Father, Creator. We thank you Jesus, for your bread or your body that was broken. Here, listen to this. Your body that was broken and your blood that was shed. And Lord, we together as this is, we celebrate this together. We thank you. We hold on to this reality of you with us. You dying for all the ways that things are messed up. And in this eating and in this drinking, Lord, we long to see things made new. We long to find you in the midst of it and to see and to have you see us through it. So we hold up all these things in our lives that we're worried about, that we're concerned about, that are on our, you know, in our society. All the things that are wrong with the world, Lord, we hold them up to you. All the things that are missing the mark with us, Lord, we hold them up to you. We repent, Lord. We turn to you. And in this eating and in this drinking, would you renew us now in Jesus' name? So go ahead, take the bread and the wine. Eat and drink. Amen. Well, good morning, WCV. It's great to be together. Thank you for joining. My name's Andy, and I'm just seeing who's here. It's great. And thanks for joining. Like I already said, say hello if you're live watching. Go ahead and just let us know who's around and say hello to people. It's great. And we're going to be doing this for another couple weeks, actually another however long we need to be doing online gatherings. But we're also on September 13th going to be joining in this room here, whomever can and whomever would feel comfortable or drawn to that, or who should. There will be some that should not join based on various vulnerabilities. But September 13th will be our first in-person distanced gathering. So you can mark your calendars for that in a couple weeks. That's great. We're taking all kinds of measures, you know, all the precautions, everything that has been laid out from the health officials and the government and some as well. And we just want to make sure that we're you know, being compliant, but also being safe. And so, and, you know, practicing sober judgment here. And so that's what we're doing. And so you can see behind me, we're just kind of figuring out ways to set up the chairs that are, you know, distanced apart from each other. And there'll be hand sanitizing stations, masks, ins and outs, doors, you know, all those kind of things. And for those that are experiencing any of the symptoms, and you know what those are, we'll post them beforehand as well, but you know what they are. You shouldn't come. And if you're in one of the vulnerable categories, physically vulnerable, then also you should not come. But that's why we're going to continue with our online gatherings. So that's good. And the kids and youth, so parents of kids and youth, we're going to have a bit of a focus group in a meeting just to kind of touch base and see where everyone's at, see what we can do for our kids and our youth. Kids, especially the young ones, don't do physical distancing super well. And so we want to acknowledge that, but we also don't want to just do nothing. And so we're going to be meeting on September 13th in the evening, though, so the Sunday evening at 7 p.m. So if you're a parent or a guardian of anyone 18 and under, then make it a priority to come to that meeting. If you can't, or if for whatever reason you can't make it, there will be some questions sent out ahead of time that will just kind of solicit some input and some feedback, and we'll go from there, and we'll see what God has for us. We are working at it. We're praying about it. We're, actively doing some, you know, I know that Tanya Martins was out doing spying. It's not right, quite the right word. She was serving in another place, and also at this, but for the purpose of trying to gather input and some ideas for our own situation here at WCD. So September 13th, the in-person distance gathering in the morning, 10 a.m. as normal, and you're going to want to show up a little bit early. And then at 7 p.m., the kids and youth parents and guardians meeting. Also this fall, and all this information is up on the website and in your emails. You can check that out there. But I just wanted to put it on the screen, house groups, that we're going to be having in-person house groups, and I think some online ones as well. And so just want to put that on your radar for the fall to make sure that you make time for gathering together and receiving encouragement and just being together, being in a community, like face-to-face, you know, that's in this time where we haven't been able to do that, it's going to be really important. And so if you want to be in a house group, we're going to try to make a way for you to be in a house group. And if you have been in a house group before, get on the phone, get in touch with your leaders and whoever was kind of organizing that group and kind of kick it into gear. We're going to be putting out some ways to contact us and just kind of track and make sure that everyone who wants to is in a group and kind of making sure that the groups are well cared for and curated, et cetera. And we're going to be having some materials that we're going to be working through together as a whole community as we study the Book of John together for the fall and beyond, actually. So that's that. There will be one house group, though, that will not be following along with John. It'll be doing the emotionally healthy spirituality material that we test run last September in October and November. So it was there was 8 weeks there where we did that, and we can coincided with the preaching, et cetera, just kind of introducing everyone to the material and some of the concepts. We're not going to be doing it like that this year, but we will continually be offering this emotionally healthy spirituality material, because it's so foundational and revolutionary for people that truly engage with it. And so we just want to make that part of the rhythm of our life together. And so if you missed it last year, you can sign up this year. And so just be watching. I just want to put that out there on your screen. That might be something that you thought, oh, when that comes around again, I want to do that. So there will be an opportunity to do that. So it won't be a huge thing like it was. I think we had 72 people last year sign up, so there won't be that many. But it'll be smaller, a little bit more intimate, but the same kind of material, the same curriculum, so to speak, that'll be happening. So watch for those things. Lastly, before I bring Ange Falca sharing this morning, we have set a date for Kenny Laquette and Edna Sinclair's funeral. And we're going to have one funeral to celebrate both of their lives together in the same place. I mean, Kenny is Edna's son. And so they both passed away right near the beginning of the pandemic. And we haven't been able to make a space and a place to properly say goodbye and to celebrate their lives and to bury them. And so we're going to be doing that this Friday, September 4th at 10 a.m. here in the building here at 782 Main Street. So be praying. I mean, it's been a difficult time, a very difficult season to lose loved ones. And so this particular family, like especially Joe and Michelle, but all the others as well, losing Richard at the beginning, and then actually Kenny had passed away just before Richard, like 4 days before Richard, but we didn't know until after Richard's funeral. So there's Richard's funeral, then Kenny passed away, and then Edna a month later, 1 month after Richard passed away. So it's a lot to bear. So can we, and right now, can we just even pause and just pray for them, and you can pray on the chat wall there and just agree with me, just that God would comfort and bring, you know, his peace and his presence, like the psalm said that we read, you know, even in the grave you are there. So Lord, we hold before you this family, all the different ones, all the different arms and extensions and brothers and siblings and sons and daughters and aunts and uncles. We ask for your peace. We ask for your comfort. We ask for your presence to be known in a very real way amongst them. Pray from the youngest right up to the oldest, Lord, that you would comfort and surround them. And you say, Lord, that even in death, you are there. And so I pray that in the midst of this crazy time to have a funeral and to say goodbye in this way, that you would be present. And we pray for the funeral on Friday, that all those that are present and those that we might be able to stream it online, so those that would be watching online as well would be comforted and would encounter you in very real ways. We thank you for the lives of both Edna and for Kenny and for what they meant to us here at WCV. And for Ange now as well. Ange, you can unmute yourself and get your video going as I'm praying for you. Lord, thank you for Ange. Thank you for what you've given her to share with us this morning. Thank you for the story and the wisdom that she carries. And we just ask for your blessing now. Just pray for her right now, wherever you are.
Yes.
We pray for the Jesus, for the, like, and I'm just thinking of that psalm again, that you put the hand of blessing on my head. And so, Lord, would you put your hand of blessing on Ange and on her words, her heart, everything this morning. Bless her now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Ange, are you up on the screen? I can see you. I'm not sure if everybody else can see you yet. We'll get you going here. But this is Ange Falk, and Ange has agreed to share her perspective on and you know, in our Salt and Light and Light series. And so Ange and AJ and their kids have been around WC forever. Most of you will know that. And Ange also is kind of organizing the prayer oversight team and doing some admin and leading there. So that's awesome and a really valuable part of how we lead actually in the church and how we hear God and just kind of distill what he's saying to us. So thanks, Ange, for doing that. And thank you for agreeing to share this morning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks, Andy. So good morning, WCV. It's good to be together, as Andy was just sharing and just also talking about fall and house groups. I look forward to more togetherness as well. So that's good. Even through the summer, actually meeting for the prayer gatherings that took place online when I could join. I ended up working quite a few evenings, but when I could join, I often would just say that I literally felt giddy, like I was just almost humming with excitement just to literally be together, even if it had to be online and the way that it was for summer. And so yeah, it's good. As Andy said, it's myself and AJ have been a part of WCV for quite a while. Actually, we go back to 1995, 96 for myself. I was invited by a mutual friend of Jocelyn Armbruster and myself. She had extended an invite and we showed up and just kind of kept coming. And then it soon became just our weekly routine and soon really our church community. And then AJ was also in my friend group, and so he also ended up joining in. And yeah, the rest is history. We have just been there and been here, and it's been home. So we also have three kids. Isaac, who is 16, he is my man child. He has grown a lot. And then Elliot is 13, and then our sweet little O, Oliver, is 3 years old. So that is our family. So I just wanted to start by saying I have really enjoyed this Salt and Light series over the summer. I have been able to take most of them in, except for two, and still plan to catch up on those. But I really have enjoyed them. For the most part, I've really loved actually just it's a way of getting to know a little bit more about each other in our community. So that has been really neat. And just to hear kind of how, you know, what has shaped people and what has molded them as they have just journeyed through different seasons of their lives and their ordinary days and then their ministries too. So it's been really good. I've also really appreciated some questions, the scriptures that have been shared, those kinds of things that have been given to us each week, and questions and thoughts to ponder as we all have been thinking, you know, throughout the summer months, what our lives do look like as salt and light in our days. So, yeah. So thanks to everyone who has shared. It's been really great and good, and we'd love to hear more from others too. So before I necessarily share specifically about salt and light, just wanted to back up a little bit to give a bit of context to my everyday life right now. But summer of 2006, I remember it being a summer where I was realizing that in the coming fall, I would have some freed up time, literally some freed up space in my schedule, as at that time, our two eldest boys were both out of elementary school and in middle school, kind of going into those later grades. And so anyways, it just meant a bit more time for myself. And so I remember sharing that with friends. Like I said, AJ, we dialogued about that, and then praying, actually really like asking the Lord, you know, I have this time, what could I potentially pursue, or what would you kind of put before me, maybe to step into or whatever. And so I took the months to do that. You know, as August arrives, as it has, and we're now at the end of, it always feels to me like summer just fast forwards, like, or that it's, you know, fast forwarding really fast in August. And so once September arrives, of course, it's new routines and new schedules and things like this. So all along I had thought, okay, it's going to be October when it's more my time to actually maybe look on some of those things that had come to mind after praying. So October 2016 arrives, and basically what happened was I realized I was pregnant, and this was a complete surprise to AJ and I. And so, you know, we look back at that actually in a really humorous way, because I think AJ's eyes were literally like just wide-eyed shock, disbelief. And probably mine too initially, but, you know, being the one pregnant at all, you kind of accept it a little bit quicker and move on towards the preparations. But it was quite wild. So we were surprised, we were shocked. And after that all settled, and, you know, excitement really did begin to bubble up, and getting prepared and anticipate welcoming this new little one. I kind of just realized, I'm like, oh, this is so interesting. God has a real sense of humor, because I know exactly what I'm doing this fall. I am going to be growing a little human, and I'm going to be napping a lot and caring for my family. And probably, you know, a little bit of work mixed into that as well. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that. One, just to kind of put out the idea of, you know, there is times in our lives where we kind of foresee that there's going to be freed up time and space. And yeah, so just kind of hold that thought. I'll get back to that later. But then also it gives context to what my days look like now. So fast forwarding. The summer of, you know, 2020, I have been, you know, hanging out with little Oliver. He is now three. And so, you know, my days are those ordinary days for the most part, although summer, of course, looks a little bit differently than, you know, the regular routine. But mixed in with, you know, errands and appointments and home stuff, you know, lots of moments of cute and funny toddler moments and hard toddler moments. And then also mixed into there is, you know, fun, loud, active, and some hard teen moments as well. So yeah, the days are full, lively, and they're great, even though they are ordinary, right? So really that is most of my days. Obviously, you know, the last 6 months for majority of us, our everyday life has looked very differently. For us, I guess even 3.5 months of that, all of us, including AJ, we were all home together. So of course that looked very differently too. But in general, you know, even in those times, there still is lots of ordinary days, right? All right. I'm looking at my notes so I stay on track. So personally for me, just before, I'll kind of forgot to mention just the little part of my story there of finding out we were pregnant and all. You know, having two older boys who are active and involved in various things, a lot of our evenings and weekends were filled with, you know, events and different things we were going to, and we loved it. But by third trimester for me in pregnancy, I was definitely feeling, you know, just kind of tired out quicker and things like that. So I actually had the picture of, you know, the Walt Disney cartoon version of Robin Hood. I'm sure lots of people have seen that. That was a favorite of mine for sure. But of me being like the little bunny in that movie where, you know, he's following after his siblings and he's following after Robin Hood, but he was always last and he was dragging his little blankie and just saying, wait for me, everyone. That was totally me. And so I could even feel in my, you know, physical body and everything as you are preparing to have, you know, a change in your life in a significant way, things were slowing down and it was going to be a slower pace. And I was transitioning into that even beforehand. So, let's see here. So as far as salt and light goes, right? So I like, even just with listening to other people share, you know, being able to confidently say after listening to lots of good sharing that we are, right, the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. And so I just wanted to actually read the scripture quickly here. We are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, its purpose, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything, but to be thrown out and walked on by people. We are the light of Christ to the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand or stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so, you know, reading and reflecting on the scripture more, I can really say I am challenged by the scripture every day in my home. It's the relationships closest to me, the ones I hold dearest to my heart, right? My family, my people. I mess up continually. And they see it all, right? Like the people who are closest to us and are in our space all the time with us, we see each other's mess all the time and the messes that I contribute to very much so. And this is hard, right? This is hard to, for me actually, to admit at times. Like I have lots of conversations, you know, with God of like, oh Lord, like pride and and just things get in there so easily, like, help me, right? And so even thinking back to times, AJ and I actually had roommates when we were first married, and then more so even having some international house guests stay with us for an extended period of time, you know, really are good ways to actually sharpen us and kind of rub us, right? And I was definitely rubbed, and I definitely had, you know, things exposed about myself that either I wasn't aware of, or maybe I was, but I was really good at keeping under wraps. And so, you know, those are the times when I recognize my greatest need for my Savior, right? It's so obvious to me. But then I also, you know, in that, just, oh, wow, I'm so human, recognize there's so much hope, right? There's so much opportunity. There's so much space then for Jesus to move in to those places and meet me right where I am, and faithfully pour his life into me. And I just kind of wrote down a couple of things that, you know, he is so good at doing and faithful at, but, you know, pour into me his strength, his ways of responding, or his ways of doing things, his perspective, his truths, healing, perseverance, and endurance, right? And the list goes on and on. And so for me, being the salt of the earth and the light of Jesus to the world, you know, I recognize I can only give away what I have freely received, right? And again, I am literally reminded of this daily, just in my home, just by being home and the relationships around me, and recognize, you know, my need and that I must remain in him. And so John 15 actually has been a real go-to chapter for me in my life for many years, gone into it many times. And so, yeah, I just wanted to actually share just the first few scriptures, but really the whole chapter is fantastic. So it says in John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by my message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, like I said, that was just up to, you know, verse 5. But, you know, really just that recognition of he is just my source. He has to be my source. So where do I go from here? Oh, yes, here I am. And so, you know, that's, I share that out of just, that is just reality for me. That is something I feel like I circle to all the time, right? Because there is so many distractions. There is so much humanness, you know, that we bump into in different scenarios just throughout the day. So many things pulling, you know, for our attention and for our hearts and our minds to be captured by that aren't him, that aren't, you know, going to keep him my lifeline, right? My source. So I'll pause again just here a little bit and just share something that I wanted to insert here, because Krista and Cliff had spoken one of these past summer Sundays, and Krista had, you know, put forth the thought, and then also invited us to question what might be our higher calling, in our days. And sometimes it's not always what we actually put most of our time and energy, maybe in physical time, like into every day. But it is kind of the background, right? It's kind of the thing that is either propelling us, you know, in what we do, or that we come to in other moments, you know. Anyways, Krista did a way better of job of explaining that, so you could probably just check that out. But for me, I asked myself that. I'm like, okay, so interesting, what is my higher calling? And honestly, it was kind of funny. What I got stuck on was more so, well, what are the higher callings? You know, I want to see a list. I want to know, like, what can I, like, actually read over and choose from, or, you know, discover that way what my higher calling is. And so, yeah, I got really hung up on that and actually did a search online, because I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try to find this list so I can, you know, review it and see maybe what jumps out to me. And so I did, and that wasn't super successful search. Kind of was frustrated that there wasn't like a nice concise list for me to view. And so I actually just felt like, okay, I got to just let this go. Like, this is almost, yeah, frustrating me a little bit. And so I did, I let it go, but I realized that I really was pondering and thinking about this in the days to follow. And so all of a sudden, I just felt like, okay, I have a word. I just had a word come to mind. I feel like, you know, it feels right. It settles right for me. And I felt like the Lord confirmed, you know, that it was true of me. And so what I the word that came to mind was encourager. And so I feel like I can actually confidently say, I am an encourager. And I think that maybe my higher calling, or something that I have kind of walked in without maybe naming it that, right? And so, yeah, so here, this is where I'll kind of share. Yeah, so for me, like, I genuinely like people. I really do. I can say I genuinely like them, and I love them quite readily and quite easily. I really enjoy listening to people's stories, just listening to them talk and share and whatever. I enjoy that a lot. I always lose track of time when I am either visiting with people or talking with people. Or AJ, he's always forever asking, am I ever coming home, or can I at least keep my phone on so I know he's calling? Anyways, he adores me. He's always checking in on me in good ways. So, but yeah, that is me. I do. I easily just get lost in the enjoyment of people. And I can honestly say that as I do, you know, listen to people and interact with them, I am really actually looking for ways to encourage them. Like, I'm listening with my physical ears. I'm kind of looking like into them in a way, like just kind of even inviting, right, the Holy Spirit just to reveal anything that he would want to encourage them with. And so I think this is actually why I enjoy praying so much, why I enjoy prayer and prayer ministry. I get a lot of just life from seeing the ways and listening to the ways that the Lord meets people through prayer. And also the prophetic, right? Because that's what prayer and prophetic is all about, right? In 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking not only to God, since people won't be able to understand you, but you will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will also be mysterious. But one who prophesizes strengthens others, encourages them, comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. And so, yeah, I just, it was great because it just felt like a really nice little way of narrowing down kind of what I enjoy, what gives me life, and how I do see myself as salt and light, you know, kind of in my days. And so the idea of prayer and prophetic being all about encouraging, right? Like building each other up, about edifying, so exhortation, right? Exhorting, uplifting, you know, and that can look and sound a lot like comfort, right? I love everything about that. So, yeah, that was good. So thank you, Krista. I enjoyed that question. That was really helpful. And so I feel like I have practiced then, like, how do I practically apply this, you know, being salt and light in my days, returning to really kind of a slower paced, you know, ordinary day than kind of I was more used to having older boys and such, and then going back to that season of having a little one. So I feel like I have practiced, like that's the word that comes to mind. I have just practiced again and again, asking God, you know, God, what do you have planned for my day? What do you have planned for, you know, our day as a family, but also for my day, you know, as I walk it out, and asking for his will, you know, asking for the daily bread, right, that I need, I'm so aware I need, in order for my will to actually yield, right, willingly to his. So that is the letting go of plans, the letting go of maybe my ideas, my schedule for that day. And really what that is that comes from a place of really desiring space and more time and room for him to move, right, and for me to follow. And so as I've reflected on, you know, well, then how can I share, you know, these things in my days, what that looks like, what came to mind actually, and I was really encouraged by this that I felt like the Lord brought to mind, was actually my boys, my older boys, you know, often say to me, like, Mom, how come you have to smile at everyone when we're out, or kind of, you know, just acknowledge people, or how come you have to, you know, say hi to everyone that we pass by, say on the street or in the store or whatever. And yeah, so it kind of made me laugh, you know, or why do you have to talk so long to people when you actually talk to people? This one was actually a favorite because it had a bit of a funny story. You know, why do you think everybody needs a warm drink just because they're maybe sitting outside a coffee shop or, you know, kind of wandering around, maybe looking like they were a little bit lost or kind of in need of something. And so, yeah, I actually had a funny moment with all my boys where it really did look like someone could use a nice cup of warm coffee. It was cold. It was super early one morning. It was still dark. And yeah, so I just asked them. I said, hey, you look like you could use a really nice, you know, cup of coffee. How about I pick you one up as I grab mine? And it was kind of wild because the guy, he kind of, I think, was a little bit, well, he's surprised. And then I wondered if he was a bit offended because he said, oh, well, like, I'm just waiting for my ride for work. Someone's picking me up and like, I've had my coffee already. I'm like, oh, okay, no problem. That's great. Good to hear you had a coffee. And so my boys love to bring that story up and remind me of how I was wrong. But you know what? Yeah, that's going to happen, right? And I seem to have a lot of those kind of funny things happen at times. But anyways, I was just encouraged actually by the way that they questioned some of the things that they saw me doing, because that encouraged me that, hey, I am doing something in those little ordinary interactions that just kind of happened. I don't know. I just smile at people and say hi. I don't know. Maybe my dad's super friendly that way. It might be something I kind of learned that way. But anyways, that's just what I do. And so I only share these, right? So I share these comments because they did help me narrow down just, okay, that is how I am salt and light in my days. It really is. When I'm out and about doing my ordinary things, those smiles, those highs, those acknowledgements are literally just the beginnings of what I've already, or at least my heart, maybe I haven't had it that day, but asked for. I've asked for his will. I have asked for his plans for that day. I have asked to see him in the things that I'm doing or notice, right, the things he is up to. And so I love then when I do these small things and I just see, you know, the Lord break open an opportunity to chat, to talk, to listen. And that can look and go in so many different directions, right, as we choose to take the time to stop and to, just listen. So that, I would say, is probably the biggest way that I would be salt and light in my days. The other is, I would say, I'm practicing most intentionally is weaving then prayer into my days. And so I do this because I really, really do believe it primes me for then, you know, leaving, primes me actually for being in my home, like I mentioned, for those relationships that are so dear and I love so much and that can challenge me. And so they prime me for that, but then it also primes me for walking outside of my home and interacting with the things that I have up. So how do I do that? How do I practice this practically? Would be my car. Really, like, I love driving by myself these days, because honestly, it's the only time really that I have complete quiet, complete space for myself. And I long for that. I really am a person that needs that to like regroup and refuel. And so I love my car rides. And what I've done is then try to intentionally practice just praying then for exactly what I'm going to. So if I'm going to the grocery store, if I'm going to, you know, meet a friend, if I'm going to a client's house for work, if I'm going to a meeting, I'm praying intentionally about what I am about to be doing, inviting him to, you know, have his kingdom come and his will be done, right? Like in the lives of those that I'm going to interact with, and would my life, you know, also be that vessel, right, for him to flow out of and spill over into others. So, yeah, so I have found that to be really good to practice this. For sure, in the beginning, oh my goodness, I would get in and I would start, and then all of a sudden I'm at my destination and completely obviously got distracted in my own thoughts or whatever, and that's fine. Because, you know, God knows, he sees, he knows the desire, he knows the desires of our hearts, and he knows that it takes us time, and he knows that it takes practice and rhythm, and that is why his grace is so great and abundant for us. So that's probably the biggest area. You know, honestly, I struggle with evenings, like after Oliver's asleep, and really, actually, that's kind of, you know, the time where my Isaac and Elliot are more like wide-eyed and awake and maybe want to do something or hang out or talkative. And a time also, you know, to catch up with AJ and whatever. So I find that time is not a good time for me to have time by myself. Plus, if I try to, I often end up just falling asleep. So the car is really good. Doing like dishes and practical things too during the day, those can be really good. Or going for walks with Oliver, because they're slower paced if he's walking. And so I do try to practice praying there too. All right. So in my, hold on here. I'm just catching up on my notes. Okay. So these ordinary interactions are often where I see his faithfulness actually to me more clearly, which is wild because, you know, in the vineyard, we've talked about this over and over again, that as we open ourselves up, as we extend that hand to others, as we open our physical spaces up to other people in our hearts and our lives, that in turn, often actually we are blessed right back by them, but also by the Lord. And so I think as we trust more and we practice and step towards what he has put before us, that's actually where we learn often to hear God in different ways. Like I can think of many times where in different interactions and things where I'm like, wow, okay, that was God speaking. And it was so different than what I had anticipated or thought. So there's a myriad of ways we can't even fathom, right? They're beyond what we can even imagine. And so it increases my awareness again of how vital it is to remain in the true vine himself. So again, John 15, right? Remaining in the true vine. So in my reflections, I can say my most intimate relationships are the place where I feel like I am most aware of my, you know, need of my Savior. And then stepping out of my home, it's interesting. I seem to feel like I feel like it just flows, I guess, more naturally or more readily out of me in interactions with sometimes people I don't know, like strangers or people I kind of know a little or somewhat. I know what that is. That's just, you know, people really knowing me, and it's more also about my interactions with them and my responses, whereas if we're out and about with others, it's a lot more listening. It's a lot more being aware of maybe what the Lord is doing in them. And so, of course, there's that, yeah, double-edged sword, right, for a good reason. So, healthy, close, vulnerable relationships were not always what I knew growing up. And so over the years, and I would say especially in my last 15 plus years, I have just gone to God again and again, and he has faithfully walked alongside me, showing me that as I go to him, as I turn to him, as I lean into him, as I remain in him, he really does remain in me, right? His promises are really yes and amen. He really does know what he's doing. And through all my messiness, my pain and hurt, disappointment, all those things that, you know, he walks alongside me. And for me, his healing has come to me in such a profound way when he has shown me that he was actually with me all along, like from the moment I first took a breath. My every moment, my every experience in this life. And even when I believed otherwise, like when I was kind of double-minded, like I would read truths about him and yet in me, I believed otherwise, he has brought, you know, truth and revelation and healing there. And so he truly does use, you know, all things for his good. So at the beginning of my sharing, I did touch on a little bit of those natural times in our life where we may foresee time and space, maybe physical schedule time freed up. And I can honestly say that 25 plus years ago, well, now that's going back away, but I could tell you exactly how I would have responded to having free time and free space and ability to schedule in things. And it was so different than what it is now. Back then, I would just I would just look at, okay, well, that means I can do more of what I'm already doing, or that means I can go and do this, or that means I can, you know, physically do this. Like, it was a lot of doing, a lot of busy, a lot of that. And not to say that was necessarily a bad thing. I was definitely in my usefulness and had lots of energy and time, and life was different then. But I've also learned from the last, you know, years for myself, that actually more often than not for me, when I foresee time and space freeing up, that first, it's usually the Lord inviting me to slow down, to slow my pace, and to really ask of Him, you know, what would you want me to do with this time? And more often than not, it is actually just to be with Him. It's to take time for Him. It's to be in His scripture. It's to be filling myself up, plugging in to the vine, my life source, right? And then from that place, then, you know, we go out and we are the salt of the light to the world. And so I'm going to make sure that I finished here. So funny with my notes. I've realized through this process too, that my strength definitely is not in speaking as far as, maybe preparing. I would have a lot of learning to do in that area if I wanted that to be stronger within me, because I kind of get off track very easily. But thank you for being patient with me as I look at my notes and try to share what I've prepared. So I had also just the last part here, because I really wanted to pray, you know, for us as a community at WCV, for us who have called WCV home for a long time, for us who maybe are newer to the community, maybe those who have called WCV home in the past and are here online today joining in. I just really wanted to pray for us all. And share. I had a scripture that I recently had opportunity to just take like an intentional prayerful time of almost like reset for myself, refocusing. And it was kind of in the context of probably more, you know, the scenario we find ourselves in right now, in this pandemic, in, you know, all the different restrictions and all the life alterations that equals for us. But I found the scripture really great. So that is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to grab my other. Okay. Okay. So the scripture is from Song of Songs, actually. And this is what it is. It is Song of Songs, chapter 8, and it's verses 6 to 7. And it says, "Place me like a seal over your heart, or like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, and its jealousy is as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can rivers drown it." And so I'm going to just pray. I wanted to just kind of pray a blessing over all of us. And also just that the heart of that scripture to me, like I feel like how I respond to that, to those words, "Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on her arm." I just think like Oh, Jesus, come and take your place in the center of our hearts, right? And so that's God, what I just pray for WCV, Lord, today. God, I bless WCV. God, I bless all of those that call WCV home today, and I bless all those that have called WCV home. I bless us to become all that you have made us to do. And I bless us to do all that you have made us to do in you, God. And I thank you, God, for your promises, Lord, that we even just a few that we could touch on today, that, Lord, you promise to remain in us as we remain in you. Mm-hmm. And God, would you come, Jesus? Would you come and stir that desire within our hearts, God, for you, Jesus? Would we take this opportunity that we find ourselves in right now, Lord? And it looks differently for each of us, but God, across the board, Lord, there is opportunity, God, to press into you, Jesus, to lean into you, to immerse ourselves in your word, Lord. There is opportunity that you are inviting us to, Lord. And Jesus, the fact that all we have to do is just ask, because your love is as strong as death. Its jealousy is as enduring as the grave. That your love flashes like fire and the brightest kind of flame that waters cannot quench and rivers cannot drown out. God, we ask for revelation on this personal, God, for each of us, revelation on this, Lord, and for our community at large, God. We ask for you to come and take your place at the center of our hearts, Jesus. Yes.
Amen. Hey, Ange, thank you. That was great. Thank you so much for all your sharing and for the prayer too. I think I personally found it encouraging, and so I think others will too. Awesome. Okay. Well, with that, we're gonna sign off and say thanks for joining, everybody. Thanks for watching, participating, and bless you, and we'll see you next week online. And the following week, you can either come in person or online as well. Take care.